Have you guys ever read the Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
Huh.
Skimmed. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I used it. I used it to kill a bug once. I've never finished it.
You know, all my best friends when I was a kid were Mormon. For some reason, they were just like all nice people. If I can say something nice about the Mormon people collectively, they always had the wackiest sense of humor. Because they were always high on life, like legitimately high on life, like weird on life.
So you actually have never read the Book of Mormon, though, Adam? Because you know why they were so nice to you.
Mm-mm.
That's all in the book.
Okay.
They've each got to adopt one of you guys.
One of the chosen, or just one of the non-believers?
One of the chosen, one of the bearded ones. Okay. They have to take one of you in, and they have to be kind to you and offer you liniments.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay.
Did they give you liniments? Do you remember?
Oh, it kind of, you know, I kind of politely accept it, and just I fed it to the cat.
It could have been a liniment, an unguent. It might have been a salve. It could have been some kind of an ointment. But they probably gave you something in a bowl that smelled a little bit like fish, and that was their way of saying they loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Good people, the Mormons.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
I took one of those electronic tests to tell you what job would be.
I had the Jabo.
What is that? What's called Jabo?
Jabo.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jabo. I did the Jabo. I don't know. I did it, and the first thing that it told me to be. And I think I was even, you know, answering aspirationally, as you're wont to do in those things. Like, yeah, I totally love long negotiations with multiple complicated parties. And its answer for me that it spit out, number one job, flatware designer. Didn't know it could be a job. Swear to God.
Hmm.
That's not a job.
It's a job. Flatware designer.
So... of all the things that you could design, you're particularly suited to designing flatware. There's something in your composition, your makeup.
Yeah, the other weird thing is that, like, the next nine things on the list had nothing to do with design. It was flatware designer. Number two was, like, monk. Number three was like, you know, bookbinder or something.
This is the flaw of the job. I did the same thing. I went into it, and you ever take, you know, you take one of these tests, like a personality kind of test, and you have an idea in mind of like which internet entrepreneur you want to be or whatever.
Which reclusive but sensitive ladies man.
Yes. And you know you want to be, you know, Robert Evans. And so you're going to take the test in that way. I remember thinking, like, I want this without question to say that I should be a musician because I can take this home to my mother and I can say, look, I do not need to sweat this stuff anymore because clearly the Jabo has spoken.
Read the dot matrix, bitch.
Read the Scantron, honey. And it said that I should be a librarian or I should be a minister.
Huh.
I don't understand how you start out going like, oh, I want to have like late nights and like sweaty ladies around me, and then you end up with minister.
I understand.
Yeah,
you
it
think
makes
so?
Perfect sense, especially for you, Merlin.
I've been in a lock-in.
You think I have my eye on the wrong ball?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, the thing is that everybody wants to be a musician for that reason, but nobody thinks of the immense amounts of pussy that ministers get.
Oh, they get more tail than Sinatra.
They get more tail and baked goods.
God, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Did you ever take anything like the Jabo, Adam? Did you have the actual trademark Jabo that you took?
Yeah, I took the Jabo, and I think at that time, I probably wanted more than anything to be a cosmetic surgeon.
I love you. I love you so much.
Why did you want to be a cosmetic surgeon?
Is that what it's called, a cosmetic surgeon? I forget it.
Like a plastic like surgeon kind of thing?
Plastic surgeon. Cosmetic elective surgery on ladies. I wanted...
Lady prettier.
Make ladies prettier. Because I knew somebody who was, and he was just so cool, and he had a huge house. And I think so. I probably steered my answering of the questions in that direction and ended up somewhere... in between what I should have been and there, which is probably like architect.
Oh, see, I would have loved to have been.
That's not bad.
Oh, I would have loved that.
That's a respectable trade. I just love the idea that there's a list of jobs, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at one right now. It's alphabetized. loan officer, librarian, lawyer, landscape architect. It's just great, you know. I never was presented this list of jobs to check off in college, and then just sent down a certain path.
When you see them all at once like that, it's kind of disorienting because there's all these jobs that you like never knew existed at all. That like I remember I filed for unemployment. I think it was unemployment. Yeah, in like 2003.
You didn't file for employment.
No, I filed for I need money. And there are all these things that so as a condition in California, as a condition of getting unemployment, you have to go and look for jobs, right? And I made a note at the time because I was struck by some of the jobs that I didn't know existed. Fine arts packer, crossword crossword puzzle maker,
yeah, I get that.
Jockey agent, prospector. This is one that actually I wanted to learn more about. A setter up.
What's that?
I don't know. It's setter dash up. It's something where you set things up.
Okay. Kind of like a cleaner, like Harvey Keitel in the Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that could be like, or like a breaker down. Silhouette artist and my favorite, circus agent.
Wow. Those are awesome. What happened?
I fucked up. I found some other work to do. But, you know, I still look back and I think, you know, could I have taken the skills, you know, and become a fingerprint expert or a fireworks display specialist or a guest room quality assistant?
So at what moment did you guys know, I'll tell my story because it's a good one, but at what moment did you guys know that you wanted to be podcasters for the rest of your life?
Let's hear yours first. Is this when you were in high school, you'd met other podcasters and...
Actually, I don't have... I don't have a story. I just was kind of, you're supposed to go with it. I was doing a bit. God damn it.
You did it. No. Hey, this is the magic of editing.
We're leaving all this in. This is how the sausage is made, folks. It is delicious sausage.
You guys get to do bits and I don't get to do bits.
You totally get to do bits. Some Adam.
We don't get them. That's our problem.
Sometimes there's going to be a thumbnail in the sausage.
Was that too dry?
No, you were so excited to set us up.
You're so good. You're so fucking good. No, and this is good. We're going to cut all this out.
No,
Oh, fuck you.
Awkward cake.
Anybody else you want to apologize to? Take the opportunity.
Oh God, there's a lot of people that we should probably apologize to.
It's true.
Do you guys get email about this?
Yeah, I got an email from Nicaragua.
The country?
Yeah.
Not the dancer?
I didn't even know that countries could email you, but it was like Nicaragua@nicaragua.nc. I was like, all right.
What they want?
And well, they didn't like you know, when we were talking about the whole. The revolution and how we supported the CIA's intervention in their country, and Merlin joked about Robert McNamara napalming Nicaragua. I think that was Merlin. Is it either Merlin or Adam?
No, that was me. I've got some McNamara material that I like to unpack from time to time. If I remember, that was a very short bit.
It was very short, and so I was surprised by the strength and also it was all in Spanish, so I had to have it translated. So I don't really know, but anyway, sorry, Nicaragua.
I don't think you. I'm really kind of surprised. There was one portion where we talked a lot about how the major cause of death among their women was choking on ham.
Right, I know.
Or is it jamón? Is that how you say it in Spanish? Is it jamón?
Jamón.
Then what's jabón? Jabón is soap.
Oh, that's a jabón. Jabón.
And then sopa is soup.
Sopa's soup, that's right.
That must be really confusing for people in Nicaragua. Do you speak Spanish, Adam, at all?
No. It's major bone of contention with my lady, because she was born in South America, in Peru. And, I've always kind of made that promise. It's just an empty promise. One of these days, I'm going to tell you I love you in Spanish. And that's
Espanol. What holds you back? What holds you back?
You know, mostly I'm a lazy person. And... you know, I know it would mean so much to her if I took the effort, and that's mostly, you know, why I don't do it.
You don't want to give that to her.
Yeah, because then I'm all in.
Yeah.
No, I really should. It's just because I'm a lazy asshole. I need to. I have no excuse. And, you know, I'm kind of afraid of learning new things.
I think women respect you more when you withhold. Especially
it's one of the rules.
It is. It's in the book. Las rules, they call it in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
If you withhold, they have more and more for you.
Okay, see, I haven't learned that yet, but I will.
Okay. It means ham.
I'm a professional voice actor.
I don't think that
they're going to go. So tired of being led around by these fucking sponsors. We put a lot of effort into this, and a lot of thought goes into planning this out. I mean, it comes out seeming flawless, but that's the work that happens behind that. You know, we need to support that. Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're totally right. In fact, I almost think we should just start doing like we should just do some like ex post facto work for somebody for free.
We pick somebody that we want to be our sponsor, and we just start talking them up.
Yeah, I think we should just like some nolo contendere work for somebody who deserves it, who doesn't have much money.
I could get behind that, because I think, knowing the kind of propulsive force that a show like ours has on the marketplace, I think just us talking about that product is gonna raise the tide.
Do you guys want to do something where we like pick a, I don't know, like a charity or a nonprofit of some kind? I was walking past my library today, and it's not looking that great. It's looking kind of run down, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I came up with one slogan, just kind of jumped into my head for like if we're gonna like bring people back to libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Libraries, mostly paper. Is that bad?
It's unassuming.
Like it's one of those like got milk. You know, it's like it takes a while. It's gonna take. You're gonna have to. You know, you're gonna put Spike.
I don't think that's a problem, Scott, because this is a smart crowd, and you're gonna want something that's got a little bit of toothiness.
Of a hook, like an I'm loving it. Yeah, like what? What the fuck did he just say to me?
Yeah,
mostly what?
First time I heard it, I was angry, but now I don't mind it.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I think maybe libraries. Maybe we just like basically volunteer our services, tabula rasa, to a library and just say, hey, we're going to do this for free for you guys.
I could get behind. I was thinking a lot of people worry about their health and safety in public. So I'm thinking like library, hardly any hobos.
It's good. But you know, frankly, I was kind of thinking library, if you're researching a cologne that smells like homelessness.
Yeah. You know, you're right. I think actually I'm going to take it back. I want to take it back. I'm going to say, let's go the hobo route. And let's say library, warm place to shit.
I got, I'm just thinking, and I can see it on a poster, but it sounds pretty good in my head. Library, who farted?
That's pretty good. I think that would be really helpful because the thing is, the library people, they do speak very quietly and they don't have a lot of money. And so they need a voice.
That's the thing. And I think that we could really come up, I mean, we've already hit a couple of really important notes. Are there any of the services that libraries provide that don't get the mention that you guys think they deserve?
Well, I ask you this. Do we want to get behind that cause? Because are libraries really relevant in this day and age of electronic information?
Maybe they're not. Maybe we should go anti-library.
Well, no, definitely they're not.
Maybe the best thing, you know, my friend Robert McNamara used to say, sometimes you need to destroy the village to save the village. Maybe instead we mount a campaign to destroy libraries.
Napalm. Yeah, that's where I was going. I think that's kind of the smarter tactic in these times. And it's frankly easier. Destruction is always kind of easier.
Where would you take that, Sandy?
To pick a winner. Pick the winner, basically. Just go with the winner.
Yeah, tell us where would you take that?
Slogan-wise?
Yeah, let's just think about blue sky. Like, what would you do to literally destroy one of the greatest institutions in the Western Hemisphere? I mean, it's a lot of weak points. You know what? The people who work there are not very attractive.
I heard that the library is called people from small towns bitter.
How about library? There might be a hypodermic needle in the book.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Have you ever been to the library? Have you ever been to the library on Larkin Street?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Larkin and Market, there's a the big San Francisco Public Library. And it's a great library. It's really big, and it's got, you know, free internet, and it's got all these wonderful, on the top floor, they've got all these great, you know, museum displays, like, hey, artifacts from the earthquake and stuff like that. On the first floor is a very, very, very large bathroom. It's like almost like they knew that it was going to be full of hobos. And this place, wow. I mean, you've never seen so many shirtless guys with beards taking a bath in a sink at one time. And it's just...
You know what that sounds like to me?
Like a, it's sounds, like a YMCA like the, kind of angle?
Like the, no, that sounds like the setting for a musical. That would be awesome.
Checking out?
It's like Cats. It's like Cats, but with homeless crazy guys instead of cats.
Overdue? What's called Overdue? Checking out?
Checking out. Boom.
Okay, so we are going to either save or destroy libraries with a new musical about hobos called Checking Out.
And we're not going to do it for any money. We're going to do it for free, and we're going to show those sponsors the kind of power that we have. What if we like made little KKK outfits and put them on all the books?
Oh, it writes itself.
and then you know, people would be like, I'm not going to go read books at a library. They're all covered with KKK outfits.
That's ridiculous.
It's not. People don't like the KKK.
People don't like the KKK.
Some of them do, and mostly they go to libraries.
You're saying that the libraries are full of racists.
That is what I'm saying. That's why it has to stop.
This is good. This is all good.
We are making so much progress here.
Oh, man.
I thought that education would bloom like a flower. Now I'm in the library. Taking a little shower, ha, 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 ha. I'm checking out.
I say we just go where the art takes us and see what are our characters called? We don't want to call them bums.
No. Scholars.
Scholars.
Street scholars.
Street scholars. We'll see what the street scholars decide as we write this thing. I mean, we're going to have a cast of like 6-7 guys.
Yeah.
Each guy's going to have his own defining characteristic. One guy's going to be army helmet guy. One guy's going to be half of his chest hair is shaved guy. One guy's going to be charcoal on his shoulder guy. Trying to sell obviously defective fruit guy.
Quadriplegic guy.
Really dirty fingernails guy. and then boom. And then they just talk, and then we'll see what they do with it. We'll see what those guys
want
to do. See,
this has been so illuminating for me because I realize I do this backwards so much. I start with my head when I need to fucking listen to my heart. And I think challenge number two maybe should be, let's go to the library on Larkin Street and let's spend some time in that bathroom.
Interviewing the guys. We got to do some primary research.
Yes, because if we just kind of, you know, look at us. I mean, all of us have finished at least a couple classes in college, and you know, ostensibly. You know, I think we need to go in there. Also, I would want to bring pepper spray. So,
Adam, you're just going to have to move to San Francisco.
Yeah, quit fucking around. Move here.
All right. I hate it here.
We could do so much more. We could do so much more fun stuff as a bunch. We could be the fun bunch. Nobody's ever been called the fun bunch.
We could get trailers.
We could live in that bathroom for a couple. We could do research there.
It's a really big bathroom.
There'd be enough room for all of us.
All right, so what we're going towards is that we have to preserve the library because we're ostensibly going to live there.
I think it would be a little bit hypocritical of us to not live in the bathroom at the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem I have with it is the books.
You don't like books?
No good.
Mm-hmm.
Antiquated.
Like what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could destroy a few of them while we're there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we could maybe like, you know, break some CDs or like, you know.
Wait a minute, guys. I smell a couple answers to a couple problems right here. Hmm. We don't like libraries.
Hate
They're
them.
Old. They're antiquated. We're homeless people are sans home.
That's so 1988.
Do you see where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going?
I totally do.
We take the books and we make houses out of the books.
Forts.
We make a little homeless people's city out of books.
Welcome to Atlas Towers.
Atlas Towers.
Sounds great.
This is awesome.
It really does, in that just building a fort. I think, yeah, we're getting back to basics.
I'm just over on Larkin Avenue. Mm-hmm. I'm apartment number GFA00.001227.
Yeah, I'm in the B's. I'm in the philosophy section. It's pretty nice. It's B's philosophy, is that right?
I think it's, I only know Literature? Dewey Decimal. I think that's Library of Congress.
Oh, you're still on Dewey Decimal?
Well, that's the only one I memorized.
Ugh, get a horse.
This is good.
No,
this
it's not. Really this is unusable.
It's
what do you
great.
Mean? This is totally offensive. There's no way we can use this.
Offensive to who? Homeless people? They don't listen to podcasts.
Thank you.
Let's have breakfast for dinner.
Have you ever smelled smelling salts?
No. Is that ammonia?
Yeah, it's a thing. I remember, I don't know what it was. I don't know what funeral home I was at, but they provide, they'll have little packages. They look like matchbooks. And they're sort of disguised, but around the funeral home, they'll have these little smelling salts. They look like little cloth tablets, and you pop them, and some sort of liquid comes out, and you smell it, and it just anything that's in there just immediately disappears, and it jolts you awake, and it's a horrible, horrible smell. It does. It's ammonia. I don't know what smelling salts are made of, but the impact is just tremendous. And I remember like being excited to go to a funeral home because we get to play with the smelling salts.
Was it like a dare? It was like a dare to you.
It was. It was like, you know, hey, how many can you break?
That sounds like that's a terrible idea.
No, it was awful. It was terrible. When we, you know, we would kill people so that we could go to the funeral home. That's mean. That's mean. Does it mean to talk about killing people?
No.
So you can smell smelling salts?
No, I mean, everybody's got their needs.
I don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. No. I'm so topsy-turvy.
California has ruined me. I just...
Smelling salts were famously used by the former Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre before each game.
Are you sure that wasn't poppers?
Amyl nitrates.
Amyl nitrate. We used to call it locker room or rush, we called it.
Huh. Locker room.
Locker room.
Locker room.
That's what they called it, yeah.
Huh. I think we should do like 20 minutes of Adam reading facts.
It's good stuff. If I find something interesting, I'll just chime in.
No, it's good, very though. Useful. I had an experience with we called it Rush. You know.
Interesting fact, Neil Peart was the drummer of Rush.
Really? That's a band. Huh.
Go on.
God, it's fantastic.
What happened?
I don't know where you come up with these facts. This is terrific.
This is good. This is like, you could be like the sign language person, you know, who's like simultaneous commentary. But instead of just translating it, you're just providing facts about what we're talking
and
about.
And completely derailing it in the process. That's what's important.
No, it's better. Yeah, okay. It's better. So you did you did this on purpose, Merlin?
Yeah, about 1985, my friend and I were very into the metal guitar playing, and so we went to see Yngwie Malmsteen, who was only incidentally in our minds opening for AC/DC. AC/DC at this time was in kind of a meh period, right?
You've seen Yngwie Malmsteen live?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. I thought he was a wax figurine played by robots. I really did. I really thought
he was like not
human.
His backing band is. But we went to see him, and we got up pretty close to go see the Yngwie part. And then we decided for the AC/DC part, we figured we would retire up to the kind of the burnout seats up on the side where we could sit and enjoy our drugs without being molested. And so we sat there, and if you ever snorted this stuff? I mean, it's very intense, and you get this like wanging headache, and you're like completely disoriented, you know, for a couple minutes. And it's, you know.
No, I've sucked the first stuff out of a whipped cream can.
Oh yeah, like a whippet, yeah.
Yeah, whippet.
This is a different thing. This is like you get this wanging like pain and disorientation. And what we hadn't realized at the time when we were kind of like burning through the last of this and kind of like getting our last yucks off was that we were seated right next to where the cannons came out for those about to rock We Salute You. And so we're incredibly high and have thundering headaches right at the moment the cannons start going off next to our head. And that's why you should never do Rush.
Liquid gold.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more facts on amyl nitrate for
poppers.
Us?
Poppers. Oh, you mean poppers? You know, what I remember is that in the John Waters film Pink Flamingos, Divine sniffs amyl nitrate during a party scene.
You're talking about Divine in the movie?
Yeah.
Huh. I just always remember that it encompasses several isomers.
Which ones?
Well, there's CH3CHCH2CH2ONO is one. I call that isoamyl nitrate.
That's the street name.
Yeah, that's what the kids call it.
You guys ever cry?
Hands in a derby.
No, I'm interested. This is real. This is genuine interest.
I don't cry like I used to. My God.
What used to being when?
Even like probably high school, college. I think the 90s crushed me.
Oh, and all of their irony.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that's it kind of squeezed all my last teardrops
really
out.
Really funny, Adam. I used to. Yeah, what about you? What about you, Adam? You seem like a crier.
Do I?
Yeah, you seem like you maybe like cry in traffic.
I've never cried in traffic. I've never cried
in the car. There's so many cars.
Every once in a while, yeah, I cry. I cry. You know, recently I lost a dear one and I cried quite a bit. It felt good. Feels good to cry.
I cry. Scott cries when he listens to StoryCorps.
I do. I cry. I cry a lot. I cry since I had kids. Some polarity changed, like a magnet, where I was neutral, all of a sudden I'm charged, and I will cry, and I go, I'm like a, I'm very brittle. I go from nothing to weepy in seconds. Like I'll be, you know, literally listening to an NPR story, and the old grandmother will come in and say, we lost the tar paper shack, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, boom, I'm done.
And then on the boat, they gave the last blanket to me, and I used it to wrap up the baby. I love you, Grandma. Do you? Let me ask you this, Scott, if I could. I don't want to get too personal, but do you feel really hot sometimes?
Like all of a sudden, like out of the blue, I'll just like all of a sudden like get like a flare,
right?
Like a flare
a hot flare up, like you're standing next to a heater. Do you get that feeling ever?
All of a sudden, out of the blue, it'd just be like boom. I'll be like, I gotta get naked, or you know, just cool off immediately.
I think you're going through the change.
So soon?
Mm-hmm. No, I know it happens to 10% of women at this age. You're going through menopause.
Oh my God, I wanted to have children.
Well, I mean, I know you probably want to carry your own rather than having your wife do all the heavy lifting. But that's
that was part of our deal.
Don't cry, don't fucking cry.
I don't know.
Do you find yourself watching Lifetime ever?
Yeah, maybe Oxygen, Lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Like reading
PAX. I watch PAX.
Reading a lot more articles about Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yeah, and Kirstie Alley. How did you know?
It's okay.
Do you find the humor in Reader's Digest funny?
I do. It's funny, but I think you're going through.
Do you get angry at skateboards?
If I were a sheriff, I would do nothing but confiscate skateboards all day long. That's what I would do.
Oh, it's the truth too.
Yeah.
God, skateboards. It's not even the skateboarders. It's just their skateboards.
They make me so angry.
Anger.
Oh, stickers.
I always had the worst skateboard. I was years behind, you know, whatever skateboard was popular, whatever brand or logo or decal or paint style or trucks were popular. I didn't even know what trucks were until it was way too late.
Me too.
I had some like $19 Toys R Us special forever. It was like way too wide and totally white.
Yeah, I did. I got a Kamikaze Action Sport from the Toys R Us, which was the lamest skateboard you could get, the one that came in the cardboard box.
I think that's even the one that had, like, as its tagline was, the lamest skateboard you can get.
Yeah, it was kind of cut out in grip tape on the.
And it came with
lamest.
With a written apology.
From the owner.
That's right.
From the owner of the company.
I'm so sorry about the skateboard.
Yeah.
Mine was literally like a foot-long piece of... of like blue fiberglass, like on skates.
On like two roller skates?
Yeah.
It was basically. Like two. Like
it was, you couldn't do anything with it. It wouldn't even go, you would just go straight. You go straight and you can fall down.
You could hurt yourself pretty bad on that one, couldn't you?
Trucks. We didn't have trucks.
Oh, that's what trucks were. Okay.
There was one solid axle that like went across, and that was it. And you're grateful to have that because that was fiberglass.
I spent a summer crafting my own. I got a deck from I ordered it out of the bag of magazine. I sanded it to perfection. I did a grip tape pattern all myself, which is really lame. It was checkerboard. I put the trucks on, which I also got from the back of a catalog. And then at the end of the summer, I was finally done, and I brought it up to my friend's house to show it to him, and his mom backed over it and broke it in half.
Oh no. That's the saddest story ever told.
Yeah.
That is horrible.
I might as well have had an ice cream cone with me, and the ice cream falls out onto the street.
We need some sort of ain't that a sandwich sound effect.
That's awful.
Yeah, but it's just as well because I would have really broken myself badly on it. I broke myself on rollerblades. I broke myself doing all sorts of stuff.
I would love to see you on rollerblades.
Yeah, well, not going to happen.
When I first moved to San Francisco, I made some kind of horribly ill-advised comment to my then-girlfriend, now-wife, about, hey, maybe some weekend we can go rollerblading in Golden Gate Park. And I might as well have said, like, you know, why don't we dress up like fancy ladies and have tea? She's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're never going to be on rollerblades. That's not going to happen.
God, she saved your life.
She did. I would have been that guy. I would have been that guy on rollerblades.
Wow.
I mean, I might as well have like a fake arrow through my head, you know, like, hey, check me out. I'm rollerblade guy.
Hey, rollerblade guy. What are you looking at? I was roller skate guy. I think I was like literally the last year's worth of people for whom roller skate lessons made sense.
I want to know what you were wearing.
Yeah, you guys ever wear a half shirt?
Right now, my friend.
I have a quarter shirt. It actually
only the bottom. Only the bottom half. It's more of a.
I call mine the nipple teaser because it just kind of just.
It's basically a dickie.
Yeah. So what period are we talking about here, Scott?
I don't know. So maybe junior high,
hand holding period.
Late elementary. Mm. Yeah, it was maybe pre handhold, or maybe handhold for everybody else. Pre handhold for me.
Indoor skates, right?
Indoor skate. Are there outdoor skates?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, no.
But you would like hang out at the skating rink?
Yeah, I was at the rink, and I was learning to shoot the duck. That was like the Black Diamond move was shooting the duck. You guys know what shooting the duck looks like, right?
Nope. Is that where you go between somebody's legs and they throw you?
No, it's where you do like sort of a Russian, you know, dance where you get down and one leg is extended, one leg is up, and sort of that's the one you're rolling on. Then you pull the extended leg up as if it was a rifle, pretending to shoot ducks out of the air. While rolling forward.
My God, Scott. But your parents knew you were doing this? They drop you off there and allow you to go?
I think they paid for it.
That you were making ducks at the rink?
I think they cost money. I think those lessons cost money. I don't know. And then we pass a skate around and play hot potato, and then we do limbo, and then we'd all have punch and go home and masturbate. No, that's not true.
The masturbating came before the punch.
you don't want to drink that.
No. I took dance class.
I love you.
What kind of dancing sandwich?
I think it was jazz dance.
It wasn't even like dancing with a girl. You were doing like Bob Fosse dancing?
No, it was like three little boys and maybe 18 little girls in a dance studio that also doubled as a martial arts studio. And doing what they didn't know any better. I didn't know any better, basically. Is what I know. I hated it. At least I hope I did.
Wow. Do you remember any moves?
I know the boogie oogie. I could show you that sometime.
I would love to see the boogie oogie.
The boogie oogie, it's basically you're just pointing at the ground and like one knee. You're alternating knees and like pointing. You're alternating pointing.
I think that needs to be a video immediately.
Gladly.
I'd like to see that in short pants with maybe a half shirt.
And some doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
No, character shoes. Character shoes and shorts.
I think the important thing is that it happens tonight.
It's got to, or I'm totally going to lose interest.
You know what? If you started a gang, if you started like, you guys have seen The Warriors, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Cyrus. You're talking about, you've been obsessed with Cyrus.
A little obsessed with Cyrus. I think, Adam, if you were one of those gang leaders, you know, they had like the Furies. And then what were the lady gang? What were they called?
The Lizzies.
Were they really called the Lizzies?
I believe so.
God. Your gang could be the Fosse's.
Oh my God, I would so love
or
that.
Or the Jazzies. Or nope. The Boogie Oogies.
No, the Fosse's. And so when they started to fight, like everything would be kind of slow and languid with lots of pointing. They'd be like, they'd go, oh no, I see the jazz hands.
Here we go. He's gonna fight. Here we go. He's gonna fight. Here we go. It's good. A lot of snapping.
A lot of circling around things.
A lot of circling, a lot of snapping.
Looking up at the camera.
That's a bowler, great. Bowler hat and a leotard.
Sequins.
I would love that. I would love that. I had dance classes in junior high. I had to learn in military school. I had to take dance lessons.
Like a cotillion or a square dancing? Yeah.
To prepare for like how to dance with a girl at a dance.
Well, that's kind of a life skill. That's kind of nice.
Oh, it was awful.
Did one boy have to play a girl or no? No, that's a real question.
No, they trucked in girls from a different private school.
That can't be bad.
Oh my God, they were adorable. And we were awful, awful little men. And they brought in these totally adorable girls. It was one of those horrible inequities that I was sorry I had to be a part of. I just wanted to apologize all the time. Like, I'm so sorry on so many levels that you have to be here right now.
I'm sorry that I'm at least 6 inches shorter than you.
I'm sorry that I'm shorter than you. I'm sorry that the Andrea True connection is playing while we do the disco dance together. Like, I'm sorry
that you smell like Trident and I smell like sweat. I used to really like dancing, and I don't know what happened. At some point, I became like the slow moving. It looks like I'm grabbing. Each armrest on an airplane as we're taking off, and I'm scared of flying. Like I do, like a grab thing at the side,
like a little kind of choo choo looking thing.
Like a little choo choo, and then I like kind of push my shoulders forward. And just kind of do that. Like, that's all I do. Like, I think I used to have a little more peripheral momentum to get the arms and the legs going, but it's gone. It's gone. And I don't know where it went, and I want it back.
A lot of dancing comes down to whether or not your ass is moving.
Right. If you're afraid to move your ass, then the rest of it isn't going to work out so well.
Yeah. If you get comfortable about getting the ass in motion, you know, the rest of it will kind of fall in line.
So lead with your ass is what you're saying?
That's what worked for me. Oh God, dancing! We were on jazz dancing with Sandwich though, and I'm just kind of curious about what leads a young man to start taking jazz. And also, can I just say that I always hear people say jazz and tap.
Oh yeah, it was jazz and tap because I definitely had those too. I had tap.
So shoes. You had tap dancing too.
I had an older sister that was a dancer. Like that's what she wanted to do and be as a probably 7 or 8 year old.
So what kind of music would be playing while you were tap dancing?
You know, it was always on vinyl.
Like Steve Miller Band or?
I don't think so. It was.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping. Tap.
Do 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 do.
How does that work? That's awesome.
There were things that I will never forget, like shuffle ball toe, shuffle ball step toe step, things like that. That I don't know what they mean. I don't think I know what they meant either. It's like getting a bunch of 4 year olds to play soccer. They all just kind of run around, and one of them kicks the ball, and the rest of them chase. I don't think we were actually doing any dance moves or anything. It was just. Like twice a year, there was a big recital at the community center. Somebody would put on a lot of makeup on you. So you would wear something with lots of sequins. They would send you to the photographer. Everybody would line up and get their way too suggestive photo, portraits taken. by the sleazy, by the sleazy photographer, the local guy, and I just hated it. And as to why I was doing that, you know, it was my mom.
Yeah. Is there any chance that your mom or somebody else at Casa de Sandwich has any of those photos, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would proudly show off my dance photos.
Mm. I would really, really enjoy that.
Okay, I think it's pretty important that happens pretty soon, yeah.
My mom is a maestro with the scanner, too, so all I have to do is one email, and there's probably going to be a whole...
That would mean
you just
a lot
file
to
me. You just file a Freedom of Information request, and...
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then...
She gets right on
An hour later, a Flickr pool.
And finally...
I used to skate to college.
That's embarrassing.
Well,
wait,
yeah.
Like roller skate to college?
This is why I know that there's outside skates. I had
are those like dune buggy wheels on skates?
I lived about a mile from campus, which was not a problem when my van, I had a VW van. And when it was still working, you know, part of the plan was I could live a mile from campus because it's, you know, get there in 5 minutes in the van. But then, you know, long story short, the engine seized up and it was over with. I didn't have the money to fix it, but I did have a pair of skates. And so,
can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Were larger wheels illegal in Florida at the time and that's why you didn't have a bike? like some sort of small wheels only ordinance or?
You know, I had the skates. I don't know why I had skates. I had gotten skates that still fit me at some point. I did not have a bike. That's a really good question. I'm not sure why that never occurred to me.
That's usually the stopgap between van and skates. Like you'd probably only strap on the skates if your bike was out of commission.
I should probably talk to a therapist because I honestly am not sure why that never occurred to me. I think I would borrow bikes sometimes and I would frequently get rides, but the fallback was that I would skate to college. And you know, I remember I'd be going down the street and I'd look in people's homes and see the blue glow of their television shung shung as I skated past their house.
you know who doesn't play you in the movie about your life? Val Kilmer.
How come? You think he probably doesn't skate?
A little too cool, my friend.
Yeah. Well, you think I'm too cool for him to play me?
You might be a little more of a, God, I don't know. You could be like an Estevez.
Oh, I was going to say an Eric Stoltz or maybe a Corey Haim.
A Stoltz, I don't know. Haim's a little cheap.
God, you guys are really from the 90s, aren't you?
Stoltz or Estevez.
You were thinking maybe a Mary Tyler Moore.
No, the late Ray Milland. One of the great classic Hollywood character actors. You know,
like a Milton Berle. Is that what you're thinking? Like a... hey, Merlin. Hey, Merlin, we're going to a party. You want a ride? No, I'm good, thanks. Sorry, I just
Milton
picture Berle Milton Berle
is
playing
Merlin
you.
Man in Skating to College.
Oh no, you know who would be better? Orson Welles. He would have done anything in the 80s too. In the early 80s. Wasn't he still alive in the early 80s?
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't he doing like ham commercials in the early 80s?
It was frozen peas and wine. Yeah. Which also, so, incidentally, were like my diet in college.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
I'm fine. I'm fine to just pull stuff out of my ass. Pull stuff out of your ass and I just respond to it. I'm fine to do that.
I'll play with the stuff that you guys pull out of your asses.
Exactly. You'll fling it back at the bars.
And it might look a little bit like a bicycle inner tube.
I know. Let's cross that off the appropriate images list.
Done.
Next.